My guest at this time is Eric Pratt. He is the Director of Communications at Gun Owners of America. You may remember just a couple of weeks ago, we had his father, Larry Pratt, as our guest. In the wake of the events involving Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Javon Belcher taking his own life after killing the mother of his child, that launched a gun debate following comments by Bob Costas. Obviously, the events in Newtown, Massachusetts, 3 days ago, much bigger than the situation in Kansas City. But it is once again sparking a call for greater gun control measures by many people here in Washington. And the president also seemed to allude to that in his speech in Connecticut on Sunday night. And Eric, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, thank you for having me.
Obviously, it's a difficult time for all Americans, most especially, obviously, the people who have lost ones close to them in this horrific tragedy up in Connecticut. But as this political debate gets going now, what do you see that's any different than the typical gun control debate, other than the obvious emotions connected to this specific story?
Sadly, there's nothing different. Those that want to restrict firearms are trying to exploit a tragedy. You might remember that the former White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, used to say, you never let a crisis go to waste. And that's exactly what the president and many of the Democrat senators are doing here, is in using this tragedy to foist even more restrictions, when the restrictions themselves, it can be argued, is what is actually allowing this type of thing to occur. You know, they like to point out, oh, there's so many guns in this country, and that's true. And yet, I've talked to many concealed carry holders, they will not go into areas where they are prevented by law because they don't want to lose their license. They don't want to get caught and lose their license. Hence, you don't see people going into a school with a gun legally. But bad guys don't care. In fact, that's, you could argue why they target schools, is because they know they're not, they know they're going to be the only one with a gun. They don't target police stations. They don't target gun shows or gun stores, places where they know people are armed. No, they go to places where they're not armed. And people will certainly remember the Aurora shooting. There were seven theaters within 20 miles of that shooter's home. He didn't go to the closest one. He didn't go to the biggest one. He chose the only theater where guns were banned, where even concealed carry holders were not allowed to take their guns in. And again, that just underscores these guys are evil, but they're not stupid. And so, you know, as we embark upon this debate once again, I think it needs to be pointed out. You know, even look at Connecticut. When did the bad guy stop shooting? When good guys with guns arrived on the scene, the police.
Eric, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert was one of the very few who were not pushing gun control legislation on the Sunday morning chat shows. He says he strongly wishes the principal of the school, who ended up losing her own life, had access to a weapon like an M4 herself and perhaps could have, if not avoided the entire tragedy, at least made it far less severe. What did you make of his comments?
I applaud him for that, and that's actually been successfully tried. In Pearl, Mississippi, an assistant principal used his own gun in defiance of the federal ban on having a gun in a school zone, used his own gun to stop a kid who had brought his gun to the school and had killed and injured several people. Same thing in Montana. They have exempted themselves out from under the federal ban. So their teachers, their principals can have guns at school. Their right to self-defense doesn't end at, you know, their driveway in Montana. They can bring them to school. And not surprisingly, we haven't seen these types of shootings in Montana, nor do I think will we. Israel, after a very horrific attack on children in the early 1970s, started allowing teachers to have guns to protect the kids on outings and things like that. Some of us here at GOA have actually been to Israel to witness this, have pictures of teachers with their guns as they're on field trips. They brought their school-related violence to a screeching halt once they started doing that. And I think it underscores what everybody should know intuitively, and that is bad guys want to look for soft targets, places where they're going to be the only one with a gun.
We're talking with Eric Pratt of Gun Owners of America. And Eric, I'm sure you've already heard a lot of the ideas being thrown out there by gun control supporters. And in our last remaining minutes here, I just want to make sure our listeners know your side of the debate on these issues. First of all, Senator Feinstein, who was a champion of the so-called assault weapons ban from 1994 to 2004 when it expired, says she's planning to bring that back. What exactly is defined as an assault weapon under that bill, and what difference do you think that would make if it were passed?
Well, we'll have to take a look, obviously, at the specifics of the bill, and she hasn't introduced that yet. But realize this, we're not talking about machine guns. Even though they throw that term around, assault weapons, machine guns are already heavily regulated, nearly impossible to legally acquire in this country. It's very, very difficult. Her original so-called assault weapon ban didn't deal with one machine gun at all. They deal with semi-automatic firearms. That means you pull the trigger once, only one bullet comes out the barrel. They're internally identical to any deer rifle that you would ever take hunting. That's what we're talking about here. These are the types of guns that they are trying to ban, and it's obviously just a foot in the door, a way to get to their overall goal of doing what they want to do to the whole country, what they had done to Washington, D.C., and what they've done to every school, and that is people aren't allowed to have guns. And yet, obviously, the bad guys will still get guns. By the way, a word about D.C. They passed their very draconian gun ban in 1976, banning all privately owned firearms. They quickly became the nation's murder capital year after year after year. The Supreme Court struck down their ban in 2008. The anti-gunners were screaming, murder's going to go through the roof. The exact opposite happened. After 70,000 lawful residents quickly acquired firearms, their murder rate has now dropped to a 45-year low. And it just underscores the fact that these folks don't get it. They think that more guns are going to make us even less safe. And actually, the opposite is true, that more guns in good people's hands keep us safer.
Well, let me talk to you about two other issues real quickly and get your response to them. One is, and we've heard a lot about this in the last few days, the number of rounds in magazines, they say, is the shooter in the Colorado theater had up to 100, I think. This one in Connecticut had what many people consider to be too many. What do you say about what the law should be on that, and what would happen if these folks got their way?
Okay, two things about that. First of all, good people would want to have that type of firearm and that many rounds of ammunition if they're defending themselves in a riot situation, and that's exactly what the Korean merchants did during the Los Angeles riots. Their stores remained standing while others around them burned to the ground. People can go on the internet and find pictures of them with their semi-automatic rifles and the big banana clips sticking out the bottom. But the other thing on that is, in terms of all, somebody, a bad guy with that many rounds of ammunition, look, they still get stopped by somebody shooting them. And that's exactly how a woman 5 years ago this month in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the New Life Church, which has thousands of people in their membership, when a guy walked in with 1,000 rounds of ammunition strapped on him, several firearms in his possession, he was trying to commit the greatest tragedy on American soil, and yet it was a woman with a concealed carry permit that brought him down. She fired, hit him several times, critically injuring him, and then he ended up taking his own life. So it doesn't matter how many rounds they have, they're still going to die with one shot to the head. And that's what the police would do if they're there, but they can't be everywhere. So it's the immediate victims that, I'm not saying everybody has to carry a gun, but let's not impose this morality, this philosophy that is not working. Let's not impose that on those that would like to protect themselves and their loved ones.
Eric, last topic, and that is the mental health issue that's come out now. Is there a way to properly gauge based on mental capacity who should and should not have a firearm, and if so, who should make that declaration?
Well, these are very dangerous issues because we've already banned the mentally ill from being able to own firearms. So what are we talking about now? As they ratchet it up more, what you're finding out is, like, now they're stopping military veterans who are coming back from war and they're suffering from PTSD. Now, more than 150,000 military veterans suffering from PTSD and things like that, they've not committed a single crime. They've not even been adjudicated by a court as mentally ill or by a jury as having done anything wrong, and yet they're being prevented from owning firearms. And, ultimately we have to come back and say, look, we've got laws already against the mentally ill having guns. Connecticut, according to the Brady campaign, has the fifth toughest gun laws in the country. That didn't stop this guy. All these laws that we have, laws against carrying a gun with the intent to commit a crime, carrying a gun into a school zone, which is illegal. In fact, Connecticut has its own version of the Feinstein ban, a very strict version. It's actually even stricter than what Feinstein wants to introduce. And all these laws did not stop that violent thug from doing what he did on Friday. And I think that just underscores, you know, when will we finally learn that passing yet another law, which is only going to prevent good people from protecting themselves, is not the way to go, because it never stops these bad guys from disobeying the law.
Eric, it's a big debate that's about to play out, and we are very grateful to you for making sure that the folks know your side of this debate. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Eric Pratt is Director of Communications at Gun Owners of America. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.